don't know how many marriages, divorces we're responsible for here.
Is improvisation better than sex?
I think it was fucking awesome.
Wait, how did you win?
You know how I won.
How did you win?
You know how I won.
How did you beat me?
You know how I won. Say it. Hey, say, Hunter, you won.
Yon, do you like poetry?
Yeah, sure, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do like poetry.
Is that a form of
imperialism?
Yeah.
And why do you think poetry is boring?
Because it's so boring and it doesn't pay a rent.
What's happening all the time?
I don't know, but I'm there for it.
Yeah, as long as nobody gets killed.
What would make poetry more interesting in your perspective?
British accent.
Sometimes you can say, I need blood. Or you can say, I need blood, you know?
Is it the sun or is it the moon?
The sun.
What does it feel like to be alive?
The smoke on my eyelashes, the fog in my throat, your gaze on me. This is how it feels.
Off the top of my head, it's messy, shy, embarrassed, and philosophical.
You can be a poet. You can be part of poetic moments. You can create poetry. Also, when you don't know what poetry actually is, you maybe think poetry is only about writing in the 18th century about love, but it's not. And you can be a poet, although you don't know what a poet is.
Presto, do Anglie, kamarád, kriminálky, ahoj, Igore. Je tebe zatýkač, na Vánoce lepší než do...
What's happening all the time?
Oh boy, I don't got much to say.
What is poetry for you?
For me, without struggle and without being confused, there's no real purpose to moving forward. If we have the answer, it's going to get boring.
Happy Sunday and welcome to Object Parody, the Object Paradise radio show recorded live from the Czech capital, Prague. I'm Sandra Pasławska and with me is Tycho Say. We are from Prague-based poetics collective called Object Paradise. Our collective focuses on organizing interdisciplinary events, performances, creating DIY local zine Crouch, and producing immature movies. All for the sake of promoting poetry and art in general as accessible tools of expression not only for art school graduates. We want to break up with the idea of a poet in a turtleneck and enjoy the poetry as the party it is.
Hey, I'm Tycho, and here's the game plan for this evening. First, we'll hear about some of the groundbreaking news from our reporters at Crotch Magazine with a special feature report on the Prague Jazz Police. That will be followed by an extended discussion about the role of community at jams and the role of jams in community. Then we'll head downtown and hear some downtown sounds from Groovy Check's last jam, among some other audio we captured on our VHS camera. After that, we'll hear about an upcoming improv festival from Kayvon Paydar, who's an artist at residency at Meat Factory. After that, we'll speak to a medical advisor about prolapse treatment and food delivery culture. We thank all of you for listening in, whether you're here with us at Planet Huzzah on Kali, in Prague, or somewhere else in the world. And without further ado, let's go to the headlines.
Žižkov officials are importing dog shit due to the ongoing threats of gentrification and over-tourism. The Prague 3 grand jury declared a state of emergency last week over the decrease in dog shit on the sidewalks of the neighborhood, which could cause a detrimental increase in tourism from neighboring Vinohrady. Žižkov resident Jan Žižka told our reporters, "How could they let this happen? I mean, the reputation of our streets are at risk here." The local agency tasked with the shit placing declined for comment when our reporters reached out to them last Sunday. However, an anonymous source emailed our editorial office with a tip, suggesting that the city officials are silently working hard to curb the problem. The source reported that officials have hired a special task force to collect soiled doggy bags from the neighboring Vinohrady Park, Rigerove Sady. The collected shit will then be redeployed directly on the streets of Žižkov. Our experts cannot confirm what the crossbreeding of Vinohrady and Žižkov dog shit will have on Žižkov's social environment, although they have suggested that the average tourists won't be able to detect the authenticity of planted dog shit, whether it's from Žižkov or a Vinohrady dog.
Vinohrady is pushing for public poetry readings to be held in echo chambers. Members of the Vinohrady Avant-Garde Poetry Ensemble, better known as VAPE, have outlined their latest efforts to make, quote, real art by hosting all future poetry readings entirely inside of an echo chamber. Verbum Vagrant, a member of the VAPE community, told Crotch reporters, presenting our art in an echo chamber is an extraordinary opportunity. We get to perform for ourselves and will therefore be the audience of ourselves. When pushed by Crotch reporters if this is the best way to encourage members outside of their community to begin writing, the VAPE representative replied, "Man, this is art, not a community center." Despite the skepticism, VAPE members remained undeterred. They plan to host their first echo chamber reading next month, promising an experience where the lines between poet and audience blur into one continuous self-indulgent hum. "Art is about exploring boundaries," Vagrant added. "And what better boundary to explore than the one that exists between the poet and their echo?"
The supermarket Bila has implemented a new checkout policy titled Wait and See, where all items are to be weighted at the check stands. In an unexpected move, shoppers at the Austrian-owned Bila supermarket chain are now obliged to weigh all the items before advancing to checkout. The policy encompasses not only fruit and vegetables, but other products as well, such as canned goods and paper towels. Jan Japko, head of Bila's customer strategy, was quoted saying, "Research has shown that customers prefer the purchasing process to be as convenient and simple as possible. That's exactly why we are introducing an extra weight station at each of our 236 stores across the country." According to the police, shoppers who fail to adequately weigh all items in their shopping cart will be given only two chances. If shoppers approach the check stands without a weight sticker affixed to each item, they will be given a strike. At three strikes, shoppers will be required to bring their own weight scale with them to the store. However, the change has mostly been accepted by Czech customers, with one shopper telling our reporters, "If you have the right paperwork and have completed all the correct procedures, you shouldn't have anything to worry about."
The Ministry of Culture is entertaining a motion which prescribes Brennick to young people. The proposal reached the desks of congressmen and congresswomen last week, which calls for Brennick prescriptions for young people due to a shortage of writers. Representative Mikhaila Kursova stated, "Young people today seem to be afraid to write, and we mean, like, write bad writing. Why does everyone want to be perfect?" Kursova was met with backlash when state lawmakers asked, "And what about our tangible cultural heritage? Shouldn't it be soberly polished before presentation?" Kursova repeated, harshly uttering, "What's more cultural than getting pissed drunk in a notebook with your friends? When's the last time you laughed at yourself?" The measure has since been endorsed by the Crotch editorial board, which is itself a bottle of Brennick and a half-smoked pack of Winston cigarettes.
And now for our feature report of the evening. A group of improv musicians have recently been exposed as actors. Over the weekend at a monthly improv jam session, several musicians admitted to being paid actors, quote, "I'm just playing a role." The event, which will remain unnamed for legal reasons, was marketed as a one-time happening with musicians improvising together to provide an authentic sense of community, identity, and belonging. However, on further investigation, it was found that the event was indeed staged and meticulously orchestrated. Each composition, note, and pause for laughter had been rehearsed beforehand at an undisclosed location overseen by the jazz police. The revelation came after Žižkov intruders disrupted the harmony by playing the bass guitar like a violin and screaming profanities in a made-up language. leaving the actors unsure how to respond to the composition. At the incident, a keyboardist was heard frantically shouting, "Are we in the key of G or F sharp? What does the handbook say?" And in response, the Žižkov delinquents began harmonizing the call for help, appropriating the phrase, "What does the handbook say? What does the handbook say?" The experimental intervention received thunderous applause from the audience, revealing that the line between improvisation and acting is simply embracing the element of surprise.
Those jazz police, I'll tell you what. And the improv jam sessions. This is an incredible report, groundbreaking report from our crotch reporters about these improv musicians being actors at these jam sessions.
Yeah, so what about jam sessions?
What is a jam session?
What is the jam session for you?
First thing, we have to be quite privileged and talk about our privilege about improv, these jam sessions and opportunities for community improv sessions. There's jam sessions all over the city. We'll talk about some of them later, actually. But it's a really interesting thing. I came from Seattle, and Seattle is maybe known for a lot of grunge music, and still is, and a very important music scene. But something really special in Prague with the jams and types of jams. But also maybe leaving us with some opportunities to discuss what is the function of jams in communities and what is the function of communities in jams.
Yeah, so from my perspective, jams are just the best meeting up spots for communities. And especially when you live in Prague, when there are tons of expats here, right?
Right.
And you're far away from your family, far away from your childhood friends. And of course, you go to many events that have the feeling of community. But when you go to jam, you usually see the people with the same interest, and also you go to the same place repeatedly. Mm. Because it's usually you don't have pop-up jams. They're happening in series, right? So also that's what gives you the feeling of belonging. And I think the feeling of belonging is very important because that's what we all seeking, right? So we should take care of the atmosphere at the jam sessions. And
well, I think you're right. Yeah, like that maybe even the concept of jamming relies on that sense of belonging, actually, community, or at least here in Prague. And I think that's what's been so special to see all these jams, whether it's like Groovy Check or Shishko Shishka or Bricks, these Kofis jam as well. I mean, there's so many jams in Prague, but they really do rely on this sense of identity, community identity, and like it's a safe place, really. Safe place for people to gather, hang out, play music, of course. Yeah.
So it's a safe place, but maybe not always. I mean by that, maybe it keeps being safe all the time, but there are issues appearing there too. It's not that every jam session is perfect, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So what are the features of jam sessions, and what creates a jam session? What creates a good jam mm-hmm. session? And if there are any kind of rules, like what level, like what kind of musician you need to be to take care of a jam mm-hmm. session? Is it for everyone? What kind of etiquette you should follow during jam sessions?
Yeah, it's a good question because, yeah, if you have these unwritten rules of like what you can do at a jam session, who can be part of it, who can be part of the community, really, you need to have the same sense and idea of community and community identity. You know, there's certain values and things that a community shares that makes a safe place safe because they define what is safe and unsafe behaviors, right? If jams are marketed kind of as this free space, improv space, they're also reliant on the unspoken rules and the etiquette, as you said. What do you think are some of the aspects, like the unspoken rules, the etiquette of jams in Prague?
So, I can talk only from my personal perspective because, as in our report, we're talking about the handbook, right? I think there is no handbook regarding
from the jazz police, yeah.
Exactly, there is no handbook. So, we should think, who controls the space and who is in charge of keeping the atmosphere and to watch after the etiquette, right? Mm. So if you go to a certain jam, again, as I ask, who can go on stage? Mm. Do you think everyone can go on stage during your jam?
Well, that's because the alternative would be that you'd have like some gatekeeper, right? Conceptually and maybe actually, like you actually don't let people cross a certain like barrier, like a gate. And if we did that route, would it be, you know, the event organizer? Would it be the venue host, or maybe the community itself? I don't know. Maybe we should have some venues where the owner of the venue, or maybe the sound person or something, the sound curator, is saying yes to certain things or no to certain things.
But is it a jam then?
Good point. Then it's a curation, right?
Because then it's in the person's taste, like what it's allowed and what it's not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So should we allow the jam to be jam and let everything go wrong?
Right.
And quote then, unquote wrong.
Quote unquote wrong, and then quote unquote the jazz police comes in and says, actually, you know, you can't play this, or you can play this.
But yeah, and now talking about the jazz police, maybe the jazz police has the right to exist. And what I mean by jazz police is that maybe during the jazz jam, again, coming back to my point, different jams might have different etiquettes. And maybe the jazz jam has this etiquette that you need to pass a certain level of musicality to attend this jam. So like, when should it be communicated to the audience and to potential participants?
I think that keyword of communicated to the audience, because if you're using the term jam, you know, what makes the jazz jam, where the jazz police is, separate from the punk jam, or, you know, a jam with just you and another person, and maybe it's not at a venue. You know, is it still a jam, or is it a curation? And I think it's very interesting, because I'm thinking about spaces where you have a jam and certain things are allowed to happen, certain things aren't allowed to happen. That makes it a curation of a jam, especially if it's explicit from the venue owner or a director of the event. And that's not a jam anymore, but you kind of need that. And so maybe if we think about the opposite of this, the community kind of saying that this is good or not good, or this is allowed, this person's allowed to go back on stage, or this person's not allowed to go on stage, or whatever. But what does that community comment look like? What do you think?
But should we do this social kind of penalty? Like, we don't like it and you can boo someone. We don't allow you to come back on stage again. Do you think that should be allowed too? Like,
that's a good point. Yeah. And because it becomes like groupthink, if you will. It's one thing with like slam poetry in Central Europe, right? Where the audience rates the poetry performers with scorecards, and then they get paid at the end or whatever. You know, this kind of, and you can imagine in certain circumstances where certain people might get applause out over other people, and this might create kind of an unsafe place. You know, I need to have this identity to perform like this, or I need to not have the identity I have, or whatever. You know, you get into these kind of weird social things. But so the three variables of like the venue owner curating the jam, the community, or like the director of the event, or maybe you don't do anything at all and you just see what happens. What are the issues with that, you think, if you didn't do anything, you didn't have any curation?
Because the rules are not written down, right? So we all have this social awareness during these jams and we should feel how to behave, but not everyone feels it, right? So
yeah, what does it mean to behave?
Yeah, know? Even though we want to give the freedom for everyone to jam and to enjoy and to create together, sometimes, and an example from life, someone goes on stage 10 times during one night.
Right.
Is that cool or is it not? Do we have the right to say, hey, chill?
Yeah, it's also interesting because like going on stage as like a vocalist is a lot of it's a different role than say going on stage and playing drums and being a support act. And maybe that just comes down to the fact that vocalists usually like lead the jam a little bit more, at least in our community or where we see, or maybe not. Jazz jams, I feel like vocalists are more complementary.
I think like for me it should be equal. Like the vocalist shouldn't lead the session. And I've seen so many times that there are musicians, they're having amazing flow, and then the vocalist comes on stage and like jumping on the stage showing to the musicians like, go slower, go louder, because I wanna sing something. Like, I hate that shit. Like, don't do that. You're fuck the that same shit. Equal musician as the other, so you better listen to that and do something that will add to the flow. And by doing that, maybe you will have the chance to change it. Uh-huh. But it's all about the communication on the stage, not coming on the stage and being a star.
Because it goes back to what's the purpose of the event. Is the purpose of the jam to encourage community belonging? Or is the purpose of the event maybe to showcase certain jazz musicians? These are separate events.
Not only jazz musicians, sure. Just musicians.
They're usually jazz. No, I mean, you know, respect to jazz musicians as well. But I'm just thinking about, you know, the purpose of the event there.
And also the purpose doesn't have to be only to encourage the community feeling. Just to have fun on stage, I think that maybe we started the conversation from the fact that it's community building and it's like makes you feel that you belong somewhere, but also it's just so much fun to be on the stage and to experience music.
Right, it's a celebration.
And what's cool about jams that maybe you are not experienced, but you can go there and you can experience the creative flow with other musicians.
I think that's the key part about jams, is that it's building sound, music, composition, you know, and you jam also in other forms of media as well, but you're doing it together. And maybe we should have started out with this definition of jamming in the beginning, but because to me, the ideal jam, like the definition of jamming is you bring your skills, but you don't bring your content. Like you don't bring like your guitar riffs or like your poetry or your choruses or whatever. You abandon those things, or you try to the best of your ability. And then you create something together with the people on the stage. Some of it's shit, some of it's good. You know, but the space is to test out those things and to see what's going to happen. And it's not necessarily to showcase the best song ever. No one thinks that they're going to see the best song ever at a jam space because it's made in the moment. But maybe, actually I'm thinking define best, because we like jams. I think one of the biggest reasons why we're still in Prague is the very powerful jam scene and the energy you get when you're at a jam.
The energy of surprise and unexpected happening. And I think when you're not trying to be perfect, you are there. That's when the unexpected is happening. And that's what is like source of inspiration. And even our band, David's Sister, right? So many songs where the idea of them were created during a jam.
It's like community brainstorm session.
Yeah, and also I can give another example. There was a time at Žižkov Šiška, actually, that once a month we were having fem jams. And they were created because during regular jams, it's definitely male dominated. And some of the females didn't have the courage to go on stage, didn't feel confident enough. That's why we came up with the initiative to allow only women or women identify people to go on stage. And at some point there were like five girls who didn't know how to play instruments, or they knew music, but they just took the instruments that they usually don't play. And that was like the sickest thing I've heard there, literally, because it was so like experimental and alternative and cool. And we were in it all together. It was like we're trying to make the sounds by looking to each other's eyes and just connect it all together. And that was beautiful.
I like that, because you're viewing the experience as a happening, as the emotions of it, not as the music. I mean, if you listen to the music, you definitely would have a different view towards it, as with all jams. But yeah, especially like the femme jam. I mean, the concept of everyone going on stage who aren't usually given a space to do so is it's really powerful. Yeah, but let's go back to before we kind of like close off this this discussion, and also to our listeners, give us some comments on what you think a jam should be or shouldn't be, or how a jam is shown in your community. But I want to revisit that question of this unspoken community rules, the gray area of what you can do and what you can't do. Should we have an answer to that?
I think there are certain things that shouldn't or should be done. For instance, if you don't like something, you shouldn't turn off the mic for a person, I think. That's a valid point, unless the person goes for too long. And I think this rule is well known for everyone, or at least should be, right?
Don't turn off the microphone of people that you don't like.
If they're disrespectful, or maybe something, okay, if they're like harmful, disrespectful, or something like that, maybe.
Okay, so is that the line? When people start being disrespectful, maybe offensive or something, that's when you cut the line? And then how do we define offensive or disrespectful? Because that's still the gray area, right? That's the community idea of what is disrespectful, you know.
I think this is gray area in everything in life, you know, like yeah. When is the border of being disrespectful to someone?
So it would be like, quote, social intelligence, unquote.
Yeah, group social, collective social intelligence, judgment.
Yeah, because you don't want to prescribe rules or something. Mm. You would just hope that everyone just kind of gets it. They know that they're not supposed to do this. They need to be nice or whatever. And they define nice. Well, the community defines nice and they abide by that.
Yeah. Mm. And I think to like sum everything up, the most important is the communication.
Right.
And also letting the variety to happen. Mm. And I don't wanna, because like we are very onto jazz police and just musicians, but no, it's just funny way to talk about these things. It's not that we think that the jazz is bad, just has certain musical expectations. And when we go to jams, we should allow everything to happen, right? Maybe not if it's like specifically jazz jam or punk jams or whatever, but if you go to regular jam session, we should allow all the genres to be there, right? Mm. Give a space for everyone. Right?
Allow and maybe encourage.
Yeah.
And I guess the question is, what does that encouragement look like? I mean, do you have someone who kind of like MCs the jam? Like, that was cool. And then maybe pointing to people or saying, yeah.
Clapping, just applause, that's the answer, yeah.
Yeah. You vote with your applause.
Yeah.
But that's only after music goes up, or you know, new genres, or you know, how do you encourage before someone goes up? I don't know.
Now. Go to stage, okay. Guys. Go to jams,
yeah,
guys.
Go to stage.
Yeah,
do whatever you want. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess the other thing as well, just to think about, is that this conversation about jamming is applied to so many different medias as well, of brainstorming as a community, creating something for the sheer process of creation, not necessarily the product. And being open, respectful, and also appreciating and cherishing the places that allow us to do this as well, and create a community. You know, our whole show last episode was about Shishko.
Yeah.
And how important it is for our community, and we really belong, I mean, believe in that, and again, shout out to Gordon and creating that space for our community here. Okay, so I think we'll go to the next part of the show. And this is where we're going to hear some music from actually the last jam from Groovy Check at the Grid Center before they demolish it into a hotel. We also got some other music coming up. So sit tight and here you go.
Who have been supporting us in those amazing 2.5 years. This is the last jam session at this beautiful place before it's destroyed. So yeah, enjoy the jam which is starting right now. We'll be right back.
What's happening all the time?
I don't know, but I'm there for it.
Wow.
When did they celebrate? Whenever you see proper motherfucking shit, don't be ever afraid to just celebrate. When you see something real grand, never feel ashamed to be astounded. Never feel ashamed to cry, to blush. Never feel ashamed to be yourself, to crawl out of your shell. You have a communication with all yourselves. You wanna unfold into the...
Thank you.
right, welcome back. You just heard China Soup, the Pilsen-based psychedelic rock band from their show at Divadlo Pod Lampu. Before that, you heard a jam at Zhishko Shishka featuring Zhishkov Delinquents. That was Yadomir Lelek, Yeva Kupchenko, Roxanne Mandel, and Sasha Rose. And just before that, you heard the sounds from the last Groovy Check jam at the former Grid Center. We'd like to give a shout out to David Schindelage. Did I say it right?
Schindelage.
Schindelage. Yeah, shout out to David Schindelage at Groovy Check, who organized these monthly jam sessions at the former Grid Center. And as we said before the music break, the space is now being demolished to be turned
for a hotel.
For a fucking hotel in Prague 1. Yeah. Shout out to Kasarna Karlin on that one as well. And yeah.
Yep. So let's go further. Last month we met with Kevan Paydar.
Kevan Paydar.
What did I say?
Paydar. Shout out to Kevan. Yeah.
Kevan Paydar, artist in residency at Meat Factory. We discussed jams and improvisation, and just a couple words about Kevan. He was here for 2 months. He was super fun person. He encouraged everyone to hang out, to dance, and to play. And now, just a little interview with him.
Hello, this is Sandra from Object Paradise, and this is another episode of Object Vault. Today we are at Meat Factory, at one of studios of artists at residency here, and I'm with Kevan. Hello.
Hello. My name is Kevan, a residency in Meat Factory.
You organize this event with Free Impro. You also have a festival. So it seems like improvisation is important for you at your work. Yeah, this is a statement. This is placement of the festival. Okay, so maybe before I will ask you about your process when you create your art and what improv is for you, tell us more about the festival you organize.
Thanks for asking, because this is actually something I really wanted to promote here in Prague. So when I came here, I was mostly looking for people which also interested in improvisation as music or painting or whatever, poetry. Yeah. Finally, I'm now organizing an event. The name is Grazza Impro Fest. So, maybe at some point in your life, doesn't have to be in a high age like me, but you get to that point where you laugh about yourself, in which you can recognize there is nothing like planning in the world. You cannot really plan your life. You can plan a wedding, you can plan a holiday, you can plan, I don't know, what else, buying a car. But at the end, most important things comes to you. Or you plan something and it doesn't work. And so the life is planning on you, if you can say that. And I think improvisation is most about that, about not composition, to think about, now I have a plan, I want to say this, I will try to make my handcraft good enough to transfer the concept, the idea I want to share, but this kind of playfulness, like children do. They are not oriented on the result. They are mostly in the moment, freely try to connect with material, try to find which border we have, where it's like going too far, how is the risk, and this kind of playfulness, and also be able to do mistakes on the stage in this improv fest. It's not always about entertainment. It's not always about perfection. And it's also not about getting 2 thumbs up from the audience. Sometimes it's just like sitting 2 thumbs down and it's shitty and everybody will run away. And sometimes they're laughing and sometimes they want to join. And I think everybody could do this improvisation And even free jazz is not exactly what we try to do, because you, as you hear jazz, you think about the genre. You think about some aesthetic. You think about groove, maybe an image or names.
Because it's very interesting what you're describing now, because when you started, I already had so many images, and also I was thinking about our collective manifesto, because what you're describing, it really aligns with what we think. And also, we made a song with like 20 musicians, and it was exactly the same orchestra like you described, so we were all sitting in a circle. We had instruments from different countries, and there were like different genres of music, people interested in different stuff. And we had one person who was trying to conduct us, to create something together, to bring the musical personalities into one song. And it was very, very beautiful. And I think what is important, that's the context, right? That you can imagine some of your work that is gonna look certain way, and people are gonna understand it that way. That's the same with poetry. But no one ever will understand you the way you want them to understand you. Like, you need to leave the space for people to experience what you're showing them and experience the space. That's why I really like the idea of your festival, because it's all context. We gather in one place together and we all bring something, and this is the new quality that gives us. It's a different quality than what you built at your studio by yourself, and then you go and you expect people to understand it. We are together and we create something in one moment, and that's so like fulfilling and amazing, and there's so much of energy exchange and so much of a culture exchange. So this is fascinating what you're describing, and like I think that's why also we clicked when we met, because we're trying to showcase the same approach towards arts, right?
Yeah. Art, I think it's with really high potential for societies, for kind of how people come together, how they are able to find new ways to communicate with each other. So,
embrace the miscommunication.
It's about communication, yeah. It's very nonverbal. And I understood, I play myself a lot, like on the stage with improvisers, even in Prague, which I went to campus, yeah. With George, the bass player, which was amazing guy, which curated the night. So you randomly go on the stage with some musicians. Probably you think that they are good jazz or classic or new music people, but actually you don't know, and they don't know about you. So you don't have this situation of you have to prove yourself, which is sometimes in jazz jam sessions, which I was last night in Žižkov. The jazz police comes, you know, this kind of...
It happened to me that the jazz police turned off my microphone, yes, and there were fights, but after a while, when you talk and you resolve those fights, then you become close friends, and then the jazz police comes together with the punk police, and we create a fusion of that, and it becomes something even more interesting, right? It's good to have conflicts, and it's good to resolve the conflicts.
But it's still like, you have to really be in your middle and listen to others, and this kind of, I mean, you can act and you can react, but this is not about showing off.
Yes.
Yeah, it is about, you can also be the idiot in the group, you know, but at the end, I really much learned for the life on these situations. Maybe you have another good day, you go on the stage, nobody wants you to play the whole time. You can't just sit there and listen to others. Maybe do... That's all, you know? And this is like really much honesty about it. You cannot lie on stage. This is something like also maybe sounds a little bit philosophical, but yeah, it's not about warming up. It's not about... who is louder? Oh, who has the last word? No.
All right, it's been a pleasure talking with you. And yeah, we'll see each other at the improv sessions in Prague. You still have some time here. And also at the festival. Welcome. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you. Bye.
You can help me, Žižkovská.
Perfect.
All right. And one more time, if an improv festival sounds interesting to you, and it should, you can read more about the Grazer Improv Festival. That's G-R-A-Z-E-R Festival on Facebook. And now we'd like to share with you some of the excellent writing from our very own Crotch Magazine.
Are you having difficulties retracting your prolapse back into your body? If you or somebody you know is having difficulties retracting their prolapse, it is suggested to apply granulated sugar to the exposed rectum. Allow the sugar to soak for 15 minutes. The sugar should absorb the extra water in the prolapse and help the prolapse reduce. You must use granulated sugar. Alcohol might have unintended effect. Remember, a sugar substitute will not work for reducing your prolapse. If you cannot get your prolapse to reduce, there is a risk of your anal tissue drying out, or you might get an ulceration. If this happens, vacate the poetry reading immediately and report to the nearest emergency room.
And now, a letter from Madame Yidlo.
When I see a Dame Yidlo guy on his bike, it sends chills down my spine. I tell myself, an associate without insurance working below minimum wage, he has to deal with Prague's crazy drivers paving stones and tram tracks. I bring down the curtain and fall down on the moldable couch. I tell myself while watching the ceiling, I'm hungry, very hungry. I order on my phone a poke bowl, extra avocado. I'm hungry, very hungry. When I see a Dame Yidlo guy on his bike, it reminds me that I'm living under extreme loneliness. Maybe that's why I used to microdose like my favorite influencers. Even though I'm pale with whore, I work and work and work at the startup that connects people who consume and consume each other. Even though I'm resentful that I'm falling through the cracks of the social net, I keep working and working and working. I'm still lying on the couch and nothing happens. The delivery takes so long. Finally, the little blue dot on my phone is moving and it's coming. I go down the stairs of the building and I feel something strange. I realize that it's been 3 weeks since I went out. I open the door and a snowstorm comes in, and despite it, I see him coming, the Dame Yidlo guy. When I see the Dame Yidlo guy on his bike, it sends so far in the street, beautiful, broken back, flat tires, and suddenly a car hits him. I run to him, but step back when I see the blood puddles at my feet. I shout, 155! 155! 155! I look around and nothing happens, but my poke bowl is already deaded. So I tiptoe off to get what I've already paid for out of the Dame Yidlo guy's bag. I guess it'll be for the next Dame Yidlo guy with whom I could exchange these glances. I guess it'll be for the next time. For the next Dame Yidlo guy.
If you or someone you know is experiencing prolapse or Dame Yidlo congestion, please submit your thoughts, writings, or anything you desire to crotch@objectparadise.com with the chance to be featured in our monthly magazine or the next episode of Object Parody. Again, that's krotch@objectparadise.com.
And before we sign off, we would like to share with you a couple events that are going to happen this month. And 7th of August, model actress, a band from Brooklyn, New York, is going to play at Bike Jesus.
They're dope.
Play noise rock, this punk, stuff like that. I've been meaning to go to Off Festival in Poland to see them, but they came to me, so hope to see you there.
That's model actress, Bike Jesus.
Yeah. Then on 16th of August, at Kino Aero in Žižkov, it's a great cinema. They have this screenings. Like every month, they play the legends at the cinema, so they replay old movies there. And on the 16th of August, they're gonna play Suspira from 1977 by Dario Argento, and it's a horror movie. It's worth to see. And yeah, check out their website. Sometimes they play really good stuff, like David Lynch and.
We saw Fire Walk With Me. Yeah, David Lynch at Kino, didn't we?
And then 22nd of August, there is multilingual poetry stage. They usually do it at the amphitheater in Wierzchowice. You can check their Facebook event. It's a poetry jam. You come and you can read your stuff in whatever language you want.
Yeah, key part of that is that it's multilingual. Any languages are welcome.
Yeah, and the last thing, as always, every Sunday. So today, Krzysztof Siśka Sunday Soup and Jam.
Yeah, see you there. So, and also maybe see you around town this month. Before we sign off, we'd like to give a special thank you to the folks who helped make this radio broadcast possible. That's Jaromir Lelik, of course, Shella Radio, Groovy Check, Mayora Van Gelder, Roxanne Mandel, Yeva Kupchenko, Sasha Rose, Alice, Gurikolas Gagne, China Soup, and Blue Chesterfield. Also, shout out to Ben Ray for helping us make our theme song. And most of all, thank you to our listeners. This has been the second episode of Object Paradise's live radio show. We'll be coming back next month with some more stories, reports, and whatever we do, I don't know. From the Czech capital, Prague. Thanks
be
again.
Be careful. Run away from Jess Police. And.
And with that, we will leave you with a final message before we see you later in Žižkov.
Play instruments even worse and then make you like it. No, it's fine.